If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 23 with me this morning, please. Luke chapter number 23 and verse number 1. Luke chapter 23 and verse number 1. In Luke chapter 23 and verse 1, the scripture says, "And the whole multitude of them arose and led him unto Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, We found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ a king. And Pilate asked him, saying, Art thou the king of the Jews? And he answered him and said, Thou sayest it. Then said Pilate to the chief priest and to the people, I find no fault in this man." Father, bless the book now. In thy name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Pilate said, I find no fault in this man. But here's what they did find in him. No fault in him, but they did find this in Luke chapter number 7. Luke chapter number 7 and verse number 11. They found in him the power over death. And it came to pass the day after it, he went into a city called Nain. And many of his disciples went with him, and much people. And when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother. And she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, Weep not. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, listen carefully, Young man, I say unto thee, arise. He has power over death. Here was a widow woman, but she was not just a widow, friend. She was a widow that had one son. And this one son that she had counted on to take care of her in her old age. And yet now that one son was dead. And he was gone. And so this woman was destitute, carrying the only hope in this world that she had, his dead body, to the graveyard. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ intervened. This wasn't the only dead person in the Holy Land that day. No doubt in my mind about it. Probably dead people everywhere. Every day in Knoxville, Tennessee, somebody's standing by a grave and somebody's crying. Somebody has lost a mother or a father. Somebody's lost a son or a daughter, husband or a wife. Somebody has lost somebody near and dear unto them. But the Lord Jesus Christ was here. And the reason he was here is because he wants you to learn a lesson that he has power over death. The reason he does is because he's the living one. He said, I am he that liveth and was dead. And he said, behold, John, I'm alive forevermore. I was a dead man for a long time. And then he came to where I was in my death. And he touched my dead body. And he touched my dead soul. And he spoke life and liberty into my heart and into my being. Amen. And my friend, I had no ability to receive anything that he would give to me. Here is a dead body. No dead body can respond. He has no ears to hear. There's no life there to respond to what the Lord Jesus Christ says. There's nothing there but a dead body. But my friend, it's not the dead body that responds. It's the life-giving word that brings forth life so that he can respond. It's the word that I'm preaching to you this morning that you can respond to. It's something that you're hearing from me today that is much higher than yourself. It's not this preacher. I don't have the ability to raise you from the dead, but he can. And believe me, if you're unsaved today, you are as surely dead as this man was dead. And the words that he said in John 6, the words that I say unto you, they are spirit and they are life. If you believe those life-giving words, he can raise you from the dead. I love the fact that he has power over death, because death is an indication of the curse. It's what sin eventually does. When it is finished, it bringeth forth death. When all hope is gone, there's nothing left. You're going to the graveyard. We've got a dead body. Don't bother him. There's nothing that can be done now. It's too late. It's not too late for the voice of Jesus. It's not too late for the power of God. when man reaches his extremity, it's just the beginning with the Lord. If you've given up, my friend, that's a good indication it's time for Him to start working. Maybe you ought to give up. Maybe you ought to quit on yourself. Maybe you ought to quit on your ability and let Him take up where you let go. The dead one was raised that day. Thanks be unto God for the one that has power over death. In the book of Mark, chapter number 5 and verse number 5, we find a statement here, and this is one of the most touching in all the Bible. The Bible said, always night and day, He was in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting Himself with stones. He has power over demons. He has power over evil spirits. He has power over them. As a matter of fact, when He confronts them, the Scripture says that He has such power that He holds them captive, and they have to ask His permission to find out what's going to happen to them. Amen. I think about how that by His Word He can cast out 5,000 demons. For the Bible said our name is Legion, and that's how many was in a Roman legion. You see, here was a man that lived in the tombs. Maybe he had a wife and children at home. Maybe they sat at night hearing him as he howled out there, the Bible said. He went into the mountains and he cried, and in the tombs he spent his life. He was with the dead, and the reason he was with the dead is because he was dead himself. He had nowhere to go, no hope. There was nothing waiting for him in this life but another day of sorrow and another day of torture and another day of pain. Have you ever gotten to the place where every morning that you wake up, it's just another day of sorrow, another day of pain, another day of torture? Your life has become a living hell. My friend, notice carefully. This man could never have found Jesus. He could never have found where he was. He could have never come to a religious meeting. He could have never come to the synagogue. He could have never come to the temple. He could have never approached Him because he was a demon-possessed man. They would have driven him away. Get away from us, you insane demon-possessed man. Stay away from us. You're not allowed to come in here. But Jesus went to where he was. I'm so thankful for that. He sought him out. He went out to the dead. He went out to the graveyard. He found him in his dope. He found him in his perversion. He found him in his death. He found him in the graveyard. And that, my friend, indicates to me that he has power over unclean spirits. I love the fact that here when he confronted him, there was no ifs, ands, or buts about it. There was no talking. He simply spoke to the demon inside him, and they came out of that man. I want to tell you something. If you've tried doctors, you've tried psychologists, you've tried counseling, you've tried praying, you've tried everything, but the same old haunt still bothered your soul. You're still driven day in and day out. There's something deep down inside you that gives you no peace. There's something that rises up within you, and sometimes it's a rage that you can't understand or contain. It could be you have an unclean spirit that's taken possession of you, and you need that thing out, and the only way that it will come out is by the power of God. And some of these unclean spirits, make no mistake about it, come out only by prayer and fasting. You have to have spiritual discernment when you begin to deal with the enemy. It's not for children. It's not for the immature. It's not for those that aren't ready. It's for those that know the nature of the battle. And my friend, the Lord Jesus never stepped back for a second. He simply said the word, and out that thing came. He has power over unclean spirits. In Matthew chapter number 15, I love what this text teaches, because it's for us this morning. It'll help you in your understanding with God. In Matthew chapter number 15 and verse 21, then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. And I want you to notice, my friend, she was a Syrophoenician. She was a Canaanite. She was unclean. She had no claim on him. She could not plead, thou son of David, I'm a daughter of Jerusalem. No, sirree. She pleaded with his mercy. She touched his heart. She came to him as a human being, crying out in deep need. And notice what he said to her. Note carefully. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, "Send her away, for she crieth after us." Boy, what a situation. I don't know if you can understand what's going on here. The Lord Jesus would not respond, and the disciples said, "Carry her away. She has no place here in our midst. She's a Canaanite. She's a Syrophoenician. She has no call upon your name." But notice carefully the woman. She wasn't ready to quit. She wasn't ready to shut up. But he answered and said, "I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." If my friend, his silence was not enough, this rebuke should have been enough to shut her up. Send her away. Let her go back to her misfortune. Let her go back to the life that she'd been living, into the place of darkness where there was no hope, no God, no Savior, no salvation. And he says to her, "I've only come to the children of Israel." Now, my friend, I must say something here this morning for those that don't understand. This is a dispensational aspect of the ministry of Christ. This is him when he first came to minister to Israel, to be accepted as their Messiah. But they rejected him as their Messiah. And when they rejected him as their Messiah, he turned to the Gentiles and became the Savior, not only of the Jew, but of the Gentile also, and began to build the Church of the Living God. So dispensationally, this is very early in the ministry of Christ, while he was ministering only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But technically, my friend, technicality is one thing. A heart need is something else. This woman wasn't coming to him as the Messiah of Israel. She wasn't even coming to him as a prophet of God. She wasn't even coming to him as a great one. She was coming to him as a mother that had a need. And she was crying out to the one that could help her on this day. And she bore her soul. She laid it bare before him. And notice what she said in verse number 25. She came and worshipped, saying, "Lord, help me." And he said, "It's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs." Another rebuke. First his silence. Now he's rebuked her two times. Most people would have thrown up their hands and quit. They would have walked away and said, "I tried church, but it didn't do me any good. I tried religion, but he failed me. I used to be a Christian, but it just didn't meet my need." And a lot of people out there have had a real shallow experience with God, a real shallow relationship with the Lord. I'll tell you something. God will go deeper with you than you ever imagined he could go. There's more to him than you'll ever take in 5 or 10 years. He's a greater God than your mind will ever be able to conceive. Once you begin to open up your heart and take into your soul this great being that I call my Savior, you'll find out he can meet your need in a place and in a way that you never imagined possible. You look about you. You see a bunch of heads in here. You see a building. You see people singing songs. You see unmistakable joy on the face of a lot of people. You see sinners that have been saved. You see people that have been redeemed. No question about it. But I'm going to tell you something. He's building his church, not me. Every last one of them, he reached out and called them by the grace of God. And the reason they're in this house today and they're singing the redeemed, the song of salvation, that he touched me. He touched me. Oh, he touched me. And all the joy that floods my soul is because he did touch me. Don't give up on God so quick. Don't quit on him so fast. Don't turn him off so quick. Because listen, every time he puts you through something, he's got a greater purpose in it. Look at this woman. Look carefully now at her response. She said, "Truth, Lord, I am a dog. And the dogs eat of the crumbs, though.
which fall from their master's table. That's all right, Lord. I'm not coming to you according to who I am. Oh, no. I never come to you according to who I am. I'm afraid there's an awful lot of independent Baptists today that think God rears back in great pride when they throw their big independent chest out and say, I'm an independent Baptist. I believe we've come to the point where God is about nauseated with a bunch of religious profession. Lord, I'm just a dog. That's all I am. And so I come to you as a dog. So will he have mercy on a dog? Look at this. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is thy faith. Great is thy faith. Thy faith. There's some, I don't know how to say this. I'm not going to say God's weak, but I'm going to say there's some places where he's tender. I'm going to say there's some places where you can get through to him. Yeah, there's some places that'll get his attention. And faith is one of them. I'm talking about faith that won't be denied. I'm talking about faith that won't be shut up. I'm talking about faith that won't take no for an answer. I'm talking about faith that cries out to him, takes hold of him, reaches up to the horns of the altar, and said, Lord God, I am a dog, but I know you still love dogs. She came to him as a dog. A dog. In verse number 28. Oh, woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Oh, if you can't get something out of that, you can't get anything from the Bible. If you've been told by your church that you don't qualify, leave it. If you've been told by a bunch of religious people you ain't good enough, leave them. If somebody's put you down and kicked you while you were down and they want to remake you in their image, leave them behind. Amen. Let the Holy Ghost begin to form you in Christ Jesus the Lord. He'll make you anew. Then we find he has power over sickness. In Luke chapter number 13, verse number 10. We read these words, and he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together, and could in no wise lift up herself. She was a pitiful sight. And the Bible said, and when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. What a wonderful thing. This is the kind of thing, if you'd seen it happen, if you'd been there, you'd have said, glory to God. Hallelujah. Look at this. She was bowed over. And I know this woman. She's my next door neighbor. I've known her 20 years. I watched her body slowly bent over like this. I don't know what her condition was. That's irrelevant. Here she was, bowed over, couldn't stand up. And all of a sudden you see her healed. You say to yourself, ain't no man can do that. There's more to this one than meets the eye. There's some power here today. Lord God, as Peter said, depart from me. I'm a sinful man, O Lord. Is that what he said? That what he said? When he saw a miracle performed before him of the fishes, he just spontaneously spoke out and said, no, there's something powerful going on here. It's holy. I'm a sinful man, Lord. Depart from me. But that's not what happened. Religion. Oh, I despise religion. I despise the Baptist religion, the Methodist religion, the Lutheran religion, the Episcopalian religion, the Catholic religion, the whole stinking mess. Because they put Christ outside and they exalt themselves. Look what he did. Look what religion said this day. Look at religion. Verse 13, he laid his hands on her. Immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Now watch this. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day and said unto the people, There are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. You want to give him a lesson in the Bible? The Bible said, 6 days shalt thou work, seventh day is the day of rest. That's what he's quoting. Was this work? Did Jesus work? Was any work done? There was no work here. It was his interpretation to justify his own legalism, where he couldn't expect that God could be gracious to somebody on the seventh day. You say, well, a preacher, when somebody gets right with God, I expect to see them clean up and straighten up, and I expect to see some change. I do too, after they get right with God. Religion wants you to clean up and march to their tune, look like, talk like, smell like, act like them before you get right with God. That's religion. And he couldn't accept at all the fact that this woman was bowed over. And the Lord Jesus taught him a lesson that day again. He said, listen. He didn't say it here, but he said in another passage. Man wasn't made for the Sabbath day. What did he say? The Sabbath day was made for what? For man. Is there a difference? Oh, there's a profound difference. Listen. When I got saved in 1973, I had some warts on me. I really did. I had some warts. But I had a clean soul. And a born again spirit. And at that very moment, a work began to work in my heart called sanctification. And sanctification is a lifelong process. And 10 years down the road, the Lord expects me to be cleaned up from some stuff that might not have happened at the very moment of my conversion. Old habits die hard. The flesh that's addicted to certain things doesn't easily give it up. But the truth of the matter is, if you're truly born again by the grace of God, the power of God, and the power of the Holy Spirit in you will cleanse you, purge you, free you from whatever bondage is trying to destroy you. And you should be able to see it in your life. You should be able to see that working of the Holy Ghost in your soul, where over time you are freed from some of these things that wanted to hold on. Hold on and destroy you. So, this man was far more concerned about the Sabbath than he was about the one who made the Sabbath. He was far more concerned about the Sabbath than he was about the one who the Sabbath was made for. He was concerned with a day instead of a person. His mind was tied up in a thing instead of a human soul. There's a difference, don't you know? Yes, there is. There is a vast difference. Now we've got a Sabbath. We've got a Sabbath like you wouldn't believe. If you read the book of Hebrews, you'll find out what your Sabbath is. Your Sabbath is not a day, but a person. My rest is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is my Shabbat. He's my Shabbat Shalom. He's my Sabbath of rest and Sabbath of peace is in the Son of God. And then finally, he has power over sin. Luke chapter number 7. Verse number 36. Luke 7:36. One of the Pharisees desired him he would eat with him. He had good intentions, but he had a motive. And he went into the Pharisee's house, sat down to meet. Behold, a woman in the city, which, note, the Holy Ghost wants you to know this, was a sinner. When she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment. Maybe somebody told her. Said, honey, I love you. What you're doing is going to destroy your life. You need help. You can't continue in the lifestyle that you're in, because sin ultimately brings forth what? It always does. If you're up here today making excuses for sin and whitewashing it, my friend, you're not doing it by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. No, sirree. This woman was a sinner, the Bible said. She was a sinner. But oh, I love it. I love it because he's a friend of sinners. There's just something about the Lord Jesus as a magnet to sinners. He draws them. It's the one who can't see his own sin. It's the Pharisee that can never understand. He needs help. but it's that poor low-down dog. It's the sinner. And she says to herself, that man has got something I need. And she was drawn to him like a magnet. The closer she got to him, the greater he was. The nearer she approached him, the more her heart fluttered within her soul, until she walked into his very presence, and all she could do was melt before him. Tears began to flow from a well that would not run dry. Tears welled up in her eyes and poured forth. She could wash his feet. She cried so much. She wanted to show him how much she loved him. Why, preacher? Because he was opening her up. He was showing her her need. He was the only one on the earth that could do it. He was helping this woman. She was responding to the grace of God that was flowing forth from the Savior. Wash these feet. Wipe them with her hair. And oh, he said something that is totally rejected religion. Oh, look, look, look. He said, woman, thy sins are forgiven. Oh, boy. Oh, man. Oh, boy. There's forgiven. When you walk out that door, you won't walk out the way you came in. Something brought you in here and you're leaving different. Your sins are forgiven. Now, some of you might not have had the baggage I had. You didn't carry the load I carried. But I'll tell you something. Every last sin I ever committed was forgiven. Forgiven. Forgotten. And he's never brought it up again. My mind wears me out, but the Holy Ghost doesn't. Forgiven. Forgotten. Thou art forgiven, he said. Why, this self-righteous Pharisee couldn't find it within himself to accept that. What do you mean? Who are you forgiving sin? Only God can forgive sin. You got that right. You're dead on. Mr. Pharisee, you got that right. Only God can forgive sin. Now, who do you think he is? Amen. Who do you think he is? He's the Almighty, manifested in flesh, incarnated in a body, walking among men. He loved us enough, my friend, not only to make us, but to bear our sin in his body on the tree and make us again in his own image. Now, I'm telling you, he had to come down and walk amongst us to do it. What a price he paid to lift us up from the dunghill and carry us into his presence. That's love, folks. And I'll tell you something, he is a friend of sinners. Let me tell you where to get your dope addicted friend. Let me tell you where to get your immoral friend to. Let me tell you where to get your atheist or agnostic friend. Get them to Jesus. And once they've seen him in his glory, they'll say the same thing that Pontius Pilate said. I find no fault in him. I read a lot on the internet. I read a lot of comments. And man, they can take the church apart, and they can take the Bible apart, and they can take religion apart, and they can take the Baptist church apart, or the Catholic Church, or the Presbyterian, they can take it apart. They can pick each other to death. But there are very, very, very few that'll ever try to pick him apart. There's just something about Jesus. You ever met him? Have you ever met him? Have you ever really met him? Have you ever really, really, ever really met him?
Yes!
Debbie, y'all come back and sing that again, will you? Come back up here and sing that again for us. There's power in that song, folks.
Yes!
That's one of them God's blessed. Have you ever really met him? Do you know what it is? Do you really know?
Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise your holy name. Thank you, Jesus.
When I was drifting out in sin, I had no peace, no joy within. But Jesus came and made me glad, the dearest friend I ever had.
Sister Brewer, would you sing it, Child of the Dust? You ever washed his feet with your tears? Have you ever done that and had him pat you on top of the head? Say everything's okay. All your sins are gone. There's nothing like it, folks. Let me tell you something. You'll never have peace till your sins are gone. Amen. Amen.
Hear the call to rise to work.
hearts already, Jesus. Children of the dust, out among the stars, where all the saints will gather, some broken, bent, and battle scarred. Children of the dust, out among the stars. So unworthy. Children of the dust, out among the stars, and then the graves will open and the sainted dead will rise, and we'll be changed.
Think it's a thing that the Bible said, a thing that's strange that God should raise the dead? When God saved you, He raised the dead.
Amen.
Amen. He raised the dead. But that's not the resurrection. But He certainly raised the dead. And then one day He'll come and shout the names of those that know Him. And from the body, the Bible says that the grave will yield up the dead. Amen. Stand up here with me this morning and let's sing Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, that saved a wretch like me. Brother Caldwell, come up and lead us in this, would you? I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. I was blind, blind and a bat. Blind, ignorant, and arrogant. That was me. Till the light started shining, hallelujah to God. He found me. He found me in a waste, howling wilderness. He found me in the midst of my sin. Then His Word came in. His Word spoke to me. The Word brought life.
Yes, it is.
Amen. There was nothing in me to respond. The Word that brought life gave life. Amen. And produced the faith to believe. Hallelujah.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
314 All American Church Hymnal.
Yes. Woo! Yes.
The problem with most people is their God's not big enough.
Amazing grace.
How sweet the sound!
The sound
that saved a wretch like me. Did that grace appear? John Newton wrote that, an ex-slaver, folks. An Englishman got saved out of the slave trade. Safe thus far. Grace will lead me home.
Grace will lead me home. When we've been there
10,000 years, he got a hold of it. Bright shining as the sun.
The sun.
No
less days to sing.
And when we first begun, isn't that something? Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Yes! That name, say that name, sing that name.
I love Jesus.
Bless his name.
He first loved me.
To me, he is so wonderful. To me, he is so wonderful. Yeah, he's more than wonderful. He is so wonderful because he first loved me. Aren't you glad you know the name of Jesus? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh boy. Amen.
Yes.
Folks, I've been in graveyards and hospitals. I've been in death rooms. I've been in places where the babies are born. I've been about everywhere you can imagine to be, and I'm going to tell you the name I hear everywhere. I hear that name everywhere. That's the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Yeah. Jesus. Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus. And I had this Olympics. I told you about that, didn't I? I just thought of that. This girl won the 100-meter dash or 200-meter or something. She won the race. And she fell back on the ground rejoicing. I mean, just overtaken with emotion. Thank you, Jesus. That auditorium of that, what do you call that thing, of the stadium up there in England. They all heard Jesus.
Amen.
She was thinking Jesus. I think she was, where was she from? Down the Caribbean somewhere. Jamaica, from Jamaica. Yeah, thanking Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
If you leave here this morning with Jesus on your mind, we've done something.
Amen.
We've been somewhere. We've had something real happen in this house. If you leave out here today thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ and not me, but thinking about the Son of God, then we've got something good and something real. Amen. That's right. He said, by Him all things were created, by Him and for Him. Amen. He's the Creator. Well, I don't know. Ask Him. Now, if you're all in a big hurry, why, nobody get mad at you if you're going out the back door there. I ain't going nowhere. You can be seated.